Okay. Good morning and welcome to the March 1st, 2011 San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors meeting. If you'd please stand and join us in the flag salute, we'd appreciate it.
Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. You may notice we're still short our District 1 supervisor, who is happily recovering well from his minor back surgery. In fact, he'll be back probably stronger than all of us soon. And our District 2 supervisor is also out with back. No, he's in Sacramento. we don't want to cause that. But he's wishing for back surgery. No, he's doing heavy lifting in Sacramento, and so he'll be back next week as well. So we do wish our continued good wishes to Supervisor Meacham as he gets ready to come back. I'm sure he's bored at home, though probably watching us, and even more bored at home. So with that, changes to the agenda, Madam Clerk?
The changes to today's agenda is we have an amended item to consent, A2, a letter transmitting plans and specifications for Mission Street Enhancement, Phase 3, San Miguel, 1st District. It's recommended approval and instruct the clerk to give notice of the bid opening date for March 17, 2011 at 3 p.m. Staff is recommending this item be amended by replacing the transmittal and staff report to change the bid opening date from March 17, 2011 to March 31, 2011, and to add a recommendation to provide the Public Works Director or designee the discretion to extend the bid opening date if needed. The replacement pages are attached for your approval. We have an added item to close session. 1, pending litigation. A, conference with legal counsel. 14, Herrera et al. Versus County of San Luis Obispo. And 15, Sunny Acres Incorporated et al. Versus County of San Luis Obispo et al. Requirements of the Brown Act have been satisfied as this notice was posted prior to the 72-hour noticing requirement.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. I appreciate that. We will move into the consent agenda, and I have one request from the public to speak on consent, and that's from Public Works, Jill Ogren, on A14, please. Ms. Ogren?
Good morning. Jill Ogren, Public Works, Utilities Division. There's a correction to item A14. You'll notice Exhibit B of the packet that you were given, the City Council and the City Council alternate members should be exchanged, whereas John Ashbaugh will be the member of Zone 9 and the alternate would be Jan Marks. And that's the only change.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ogren. Appreciate it. Seeing as there's no further requests on the consent agenda, I'll bring it back to the closed public comment, bring it back to the board, and ask my colleagues what they might want to comment on. Mr. Patterson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to make a quick comment on A13.
A13, okay, thank you. Mr. Teixeira.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Request to comment on item A9.
Okay. And I will comment on, I believe, A18. So let's begin with Mr. Teixeira, please.
Thank you. I had some concerns on A9 regarding the cost and the price on this lot. And I have Ms. Madalena and Ms. Van Fleet. I've asked to come and explain this.
Okay. Here comes Ms. Van Fleet.
Good morning to the board. I'm Linda Van Fleet with the County's General Services Agency. The sales price of this property is $17,500. The property is being sold with a merger requirement. It's in an antiquated subdivision that was called Tract 18, subdivided prior to 1935. The property was later zoned agriculture. And although it is legal to sell this property as a single one-acre lot, it is not considered to be the best land use policy, and it would be inconsistent with the board's smart growth policies. The tract is distant from services and jobs, it has unpaved roads, and has no water or sewer systems. The value was determined by our county assessor's office and is based on excess land. It's basically the difference between 1 acre and 2 acres. We do offer the property to other adjacent landowners who would qualify for the merger requirement, but we did not have any other bids in this case.
Thank you, Linda. Okay, Mr. Patterson, A13.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. This item comes as a recommendation from our Water Resources Advisory Committee, appointing members to the committee, as is done annually. And in this case, it adds representatives from the building industry to our Water Resources Advisory Committee, and also makes a bylaw change that in the future, the RAC officers will be elected in March after all members have been appointed. Oftentimes, the membership changes from various jurisdictions, and that occurs in January and February. So having March as the election of officers gives everybody in the current year an opportunity to participate in that. So I'm happy to see the addition of the building community representatives to the Water Resources Advisory Committee and an appropriate change in the bylaws.
Thank you, sir. And I want to comment on A18. This is to be approved by my colleagues with me, a request for my discretionary funds to go to the Five Cities Fire Authority for the installation of a automated external defibrillator in the Grover City Hall. I've worked on this with Five Cities Fire Authority Chief Mike Hubert and Grover Beach Mayor John Scholes to start this off. And I wondered if Chief Hubert might come up and say a brief word. Also want to point out that the Five Cities Fire Authority, we're very happy to see in place as a great example of some of our agencies working together. They work under a JPA, and they help keep Grover Beach, Arroyo Grande, and Oceano safe, as well as assisting our other Five Cities agencies. So, Chief Hubert, if you could.
Good morning. Honorable Chairman and Supervisors, my name is Mike Hubert, Fire Chief of the Five Cities Fire Authority. Behind me I have two captains, Brian Leathers and Bart Pearson, who are part of our firefighting personnel, and they're representing their local 4403. We work very closely in partnership management and labor in the authority. But on behalf of my Joint Powers Authority Board and the communities of Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Oceano, we'd like to thank you, and in particular Supervisor Hill, for your generous community grant appropriation to purchase an automated external defibrillator, or AED. Our goal is to place AEDs in most public facilities in our communities. These are potential life-saving pieces of equipment when someone experiences a sudden cardiac event. The funds allocated to us today will be utilized to purchase an AED for the city of Grover Beach City Hall, as Supervisor Hill indicated, and we greatly appreciate the Board of Supervisors' generosity and support. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief Hubert and guys. Did you have a... Okay. Yeah, we look forward to actually getting it and installing it, and I salute you for this important public safety program, which we hope to see in as many public buildings in your authority as possible. I think that you guys know first and foremost how important it is to saving lives. So thank you.
Thank you.
It's our pleasure. Okay. With that, if I see no other comments from my colleagues, my
we'll
abbreviated colleagues,
of the consent agenda as amended.
Okay. And we have a second. Roll call, Madam Clerk.
Mr. Patterson?
Aye.
Mr. Teixeira?
Aye.
And Mr. Hill?
Aye. Okay. Thank you very much. Approved. Let's move on in our brief morning here. I think you have all my...
I'm sorry.
It's okay. All right. Thank you all for being here for the consent, and we're going to move into our public comment portion as people file in and out. And I'm going to begin with Eric Greening, followed by Ben DeFada, please. Actually, I'm sorry. If I could hold off, I'm sorry. And Eric was about to point this out because nobody knows the agenda better than Eric. we have a because of our abbreviated meeting today, because of our abbreviated board, we do have a presentation item first. And Eric was about to call that to my attention, I know, because he's a sharp reader of our agendas. So let's begin with that. We do have, if I could have a motion to approve the presentation calendar.
So moved.
Okay. And somebody moved it over here, I think, and somebody seconded it over here. So with that, roll call, Madam Clerk.
Mr. Patterson.
Aye.
Mr. Teixeira.
Aye.
And Mr. Hill.
Aye. And I don't have the resolution with me, so I'm going to call this. I have the actual written resolution that I can read, which is to proclaim March as American Red Cross. And I see somebody from the Red Cross as well. But if perhaps anyone's listening upstairs, one of our trusted legislative aides, and they know where our actual presentation, our resolution is, they could bring it down to us. But until we get that, we would welcome you to the lectern. Please state your name for the record, and I will read the resolution, and we'll get the resolution for you.
Good morning, supervisors. Thank you for this time. My name is Natalie Schaefer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the CEO of the American Red Cross of San Luis Obispo County, and I doubt that I have enough information to fill the time it will take to bring the resolution down.
Okay. Well, I have it to read, but you can go and tell us what we need to know in our community about the great work you do.
Thank you. Well, as you may be aware, the American Red Cross of San Luis Obispo has been in our community since 1917. So 94 years we've been providing classes for first aid and CPR. We've been providing assistance to families that are affected by disaster. We've helped with messaging services between military families and their members overseas. And we provide youth clubs and volunteer opportunities throughout the community. Annually, we serve approximately 20,000 people in our community, so we are a very important organization. We are a nonprofit. So we are not supported by our national organization and indeed need to be funded by the generosity of our community. The County Board of Supervisors annually provides us a little bit of money. Other jurisdictions within our community do, but we are mostly supported by individual donations. And as I may use this time to just share with the general community that it has been very difficult in the last few years to continue our operations. And in fact, we have recently undergone a staffing reduction due to the fact that we do not have the funds to be able to support the staff that we have had in the past. So it's always important to support your American Red Cross. We appreciate the opportunity to be recognized annually for March is Red Cross Month. And we do have several activities occurring at the Pismo Beach Athletic Club. There are a number of different activities through this month. We will be holding a CPR first aid class on March 19th, which is Gabrielle Gifford's memorial. Well, of course, it's not a memorial, but it's in recognition of her devastating injuries and the fact that there were people who were able to keep her alive due to their life-saving efforts and a couple other smaller things. So thank you so much. We appreciate your annual support.
Well, now that we have the resolution in hand and can give it to you, and I'll read it in a second, if you could, to continue your thought, if the public wanted to help support its Red Cross and its important mission, how might it do so, number or address that? Do you have that handy, perhaps?
Thank you. Thank you very much for that prompt.
Okay.
They can always go online to www.slo-redcross.org. And we can accept donations at our offices, which is at 225 Prado Road, Suite A in San Luis Obispo, 93401.
Great. Thank you very much. And let me read the resolution to you, please, Ms. Schaefer. And this is to proclaim American Red Cross Month here in San Luis Obispo County at the beginning of March here. Whereas celebrating its 94th year in San Luis Obispo County, the American Red Cross San Luis Obispo County chapter has led the effort to help people prevent, prepare for, and respond to disasters, making our community a stronger, safer, and healthier place. And whereas the San Luis Obispo County chapter and its volunteers and donors provide valuable tools and education to individuals, families, workplaces, and schools, making us all stronger and more resilient. It is a place where compassionate people freely give their time and talent to help prevent and ease human suffering among friends, neighbors, and even strangers. Whereas we celebrate the contributions of the American Red Cross in San Luis Obispo County and across the nation, we must also look forward and do our part to ensure that the Red Cross remains vital and ready to help prevent, prepare for, and respond to the unknown challenges that lie ahead. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Supervisors does hereby proclaim March 2011 as American Red Cross Month and urges all county residents to continue to give their time and money to make a difference in the humanitarian fabric of this community. The San Luis Obispo County chapter receives no financial support from the National Red Cross and relies upon local contributions to support local activities. When we help the American Red Cross here in San Luis Obispo County, we help each other. Excellent. So if you wouldn't mind.
Thank you for your work. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Ms. Schaefer, once again, so I can prompt that website that people could go to for their local Red Cross here before we go to public comment.
That will be www.slo-redcross.org.
Great. Thank you so much for being here, and thanks very much to you and everybody that helps the Red Cross in our community.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. I should look to Mr. Greening to see if I am now on the right track. The keen keeper of our agenda. We are going to move to public comment now, and we will open the floor to our public commenters, beginning with our most famous public commenter, Eric Greening, followed by Ben DeFada.
Am I? Well, I'm Eric Greening anyway, and yeah. I don't know who's famous around here, but...
I'd say you are.
In any event, I'm glad that you did take the time to honor the Red Cross. The nonprofit sector in general is struggling these days, and so any time we can highlight the efforts and need for continuing support of any of our nonprofits, this would not be the kind of community it is without our nonprofit sector. I know later this week I'm looking forward. We have a breakfast group that gathers at the Arts Council, and Barry Vanderkellen of the Community Foundation is going to be giving us a presentation on basically how resources are currently flowing through the community and how we can prompt a more productive flow for all the work that needs to be done. And I think all of us need to remain aware of the quiet work being done by the nonprofit sector. In any event, I wanted to... thank in absentia Mr. Gibson for his response to last week's public comment raising the concern relative to the status of the MOA on the Oceano Dunes particulates. I will reassert that your board's last formal action was to join this MOA, and it would seem logical that it must remain in effect until your board takes a formal action to dissolve it, or at least to get out of it so that it can dissolve. And I think that that needs to be a public hearing at which you clarify what is the continuing role of the county, what are the processes, what can people do. We are now at March 1st. This has long been anticipated as the beginning of the onshore wind season, and I'm sure people who breathe in that area are interested in knowing what the process, whatever this process is, has to show for itself. Then my final thought is on the RAC, we're getting a sort of a first look at the water-related sections of the upcoming RMS findings. And obviously we'll be going into a lot of interesting discussions about the different areas. One area that is conspicuously missing and not being part of this process at this time is the Carrizo. And you may get some appeals of very large aerial extent projects out there. There has been a lot of he said, she said about water resources in that area, and I think that area is overdue to be incorporated in this public process so that everyone can be on the same page when talking about water supply. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Greening. Ben DeFatta, followed by Dr. C. Height.
Morning, Chairman Hill, Board, Sheriff, Public. Ben DeFatta here again. Gentlemen, I hope you noticed the gold toilet on the front cover of the New Times and read the article written by Colin Wrigley. He explains it pretty well, what this community is going through with Supervisor Gibson and his staff's choice of this overpriced, antiquated, not-so-green, unaffordable, big gravity pipe dream for Los Osos. Mr. Colin Wrigley's story interviewed with a few homeowners that don't know what will happen to them when the $250 bill month bills start coming in, and two others he interviewed who don't know what's happening and are totally ignorant of what's happening with this project. In talking to some people at the market, some said that Mr. Gibson mentioned many times that the bills won't start coming in until the sewer project is completed. In reality, the state loan will be on this year's tax assessment for next year. A few weeks ago, there was a story in the papers. The headlines was called A Tale of Two Families. Each family lived in different areas of the county. Both families were evicted because the landlord was in default and in foreclosure, and the banks were evicting the tenants, even though they were still paying their rent on time. The Tribune further stated that in the county, that there are 1,000 residential properties foreclosed on, of which one-third were rentals, affecting 900 renters. Surely here's another disaster in the making. These tenants that find themselves in this predicament, they and their families now have to scramble for hard-to-find units to rent. None of this is their fault, and in this economic climate, there's another hurdle for many to look forward to. In Mr. Gibson's haste to build this unaffordable, not-so-green sewer project, Mr. Gibson did not look at other affordable, greener alternatives such as vacuum or step technologies. We still don't know why, and you should be asking that question over and over to him often. At last week's office hours in Los Osos, I asked Mr. Gibson if the cost of gravity exceeds, say, $400 a month, $500 a month, at what point would he shut down this gravity study project and start looking at lower-cost alternatives? He accused me of trying to pin him down and refused to answer as usual. Like I said last week when Chairman Young of the Water Board asked hard money questions to Supervisor Gibson, he was sweating bullets. You would think in these economic times of foreclosures, loss of equity, inflation, tax increases, stock market hits, bank failures, and so forth, during these last 4 years, all the while spending $8 million, this county at some time would have insisted he change to a different selection proposal procedure, one where all alternative studies instead of only the gravity studies was allowed to...
Thank you, Mr. DeFatta. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Dr. Height, followed by Lindy Owen, please.
Dr. C. Height, Los Osos, World Community Workshop. This is why it is outrageous that your staff would say we've heard all these questions before and refuse to answer the public's questions when it's going out over the radio, it's on the computer, and it's going over the television. Because at any given time, a person may be moving to Los Osos. People are just now tuning in. They're just making their way to the board. They don't understand the questions or the answers or the issues. This is what you can do for me today. You can see to it that the women that are kept in deplorable conditions get home detention bracelets for economic crimes, for perceptions of female immorality, especially the sick, the impaired, and the disabled. Your new jail is just too far away to wait for. Yesterday, I remembered 228. It is the day that the people of Taiwan were betrayed amid negotiation. We can remember now. We can speak of it. Defamation is the gift that keeps on giving. When I'm not shaking your hand for bringing innovative art stimulus to the county on a shoestring budget, when I'm not contributing to your fundraisers, I'm in the trenches working my way through every process so the people won't have to take the same painful, hopeless path to no remedy. For the record, one of your contractors has made me a conciliation offer, an offer that now removes all accommodations and services provided before I spoke up and complained. For the record, there is a civil rights charge complaint process that could help the people of Los Osos and even Oceano. It is apparently a hidden and inactive process. I'm filing a complaint today within 5 business days as required, and I want you to check your emails and see this ongoing, oh, gee, I don't know anything about this complaint. This is your staff's responsibility. It is a remedy that keeps you from being sued. Please instruct your staff to update this process, this form, and provide me this form so that I can succeed at my complaint. I am knocking on the door of opportunity, and that door won't open. We are knocking on the door of opportunity, and that door, it must open. The people of Oceano, Los Osos, flooded out, sewered out, been there, done that. If your only recommendation is social services, that bastion of keep the money, provide no services, we have no hope. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Height. Ms. Owen, followed by Bruce Payne.
Good morning, Lindy Owen from lovely Los Osos. I first wanted to start off with an urging to all of you to consider looking at the smart meters and hopefully writing a strong ordinance to PG&E, telling them of the concerns and asking that we wait for AB 37 to pass, which would put give us a little bit of protection. And then I'm going to move onward and be speaking from the Los Osos Twilight Zone. It's the area in the county where it takes over 30 years to look at trying to build an appropriate sewer, and it seems to be harder than getting to the moon. But at the same time, today, while we speak here in Sacramento, the State Water Board is looking at whether they are brave enough to finance this project. The last time that they chose to finance the project, we had a little bit of political bed sharing, as far as I can tell, because they released the money on time, appropriately on time, with a huge 12 days later, there was an election that changed the outcome of the sewer and actually stopped that project. And during those 12 days, we pretty much tore up the middle of town. We ripped out eucalyptus trees. Orders were to work 26 hours a day, get moving to make sure that people were scared to death on the election to not change our leaders in Los Osos. And we did change them. The community said they did not want an expensive sewer in the middle of town. So you have an item that you just bypassed about giving $161 million to a company that has been doing a part of the water treatment at Lopez Lake, DuPont. For 10 years, you've used their equipment, and it's failed over and over again. There's listings of how many shutdowns, et cetera, from their faulty equipment. And yet you're going to go ahead and upgrade the same equipment with them for $161 million. I just, it's similar to what you did in Los Osos. Montgomery Watson Harza, who's being sued in 5 different parts of the world for cost overruns and bid rigging, et cetera, they did the same thing in Los Osos 10 years ago. They basically, when they came forward, they said that their project, they presented it, when the bids came in, they were 47% over. How in the world could a company put forward a project that was going to cost 50% more, according to the people that were taking the project on? That's what's happened in Los Osos. We have Montgomery Watson Harza back, and that's who you've proposed to build the sewer. Noel King, head of Public Works, announced at the beginning when AB 2701 gave our project to you, he announced that there would be no sewer installation, piping, except for gravity, and that was not what 2701 promised us.
Mr. Payne, followed by Bob Blair.
Good morning, Chairman Hill, board members. This is the only paper I could find to wrap my B-frame up in. Only comment I'd like to make about it is 15 years ago I heard that somebody in Los Osos had said, well, this outrageous expensive project will rid the community of the riffraff. This guy uses verbiage. He says we're going to gentrify the community with those people who can afford it, of course. What I really want to do is I brought a frame out of a Langstroth beehive.
Why don't you leave it in that? So
it's kind of hard to see. And it's actually everything that's in it stuck there, by the way. Bees are pretty good at sticking things together.
No, I was concerned about getting,
Yeah, if we could leave it in the wrapping, that would be helpful. You could, if you want, pass it up here if you want us to see it more closely, but we would prefer to...
I'm just concerned about the honey getting over. Is that an empty frame?
Yeah, It's empty because it's a colony.
Could you go to the microphone, please, and we'll give it back to you?
All the more reason to keep it in the plant.
Referred to as CCS, or colony collapse syndrome. And what happens is it was a big mystery at first. We couldn't figure out. You'd have a colony working fine, and the next thing you know, there's no bees going in and out of it. You open the lid up, and all the brood frames are like that when they're all cleaned out. If there was honey, there might be some capped honey. There might even be some unfinished honey that wasn't capped. And finally, they figured out what it was. It's a thing that bear aspirin people, I guess, not enough money in salicylic acid anymore. That's aspirin. They're making insecticide. It's called the neonicotinoid. And that evidently, out on Los Osos Valley Road, where the ag people suggested I move my bees to, somebody plants cauliflower seed that's coated in this neonicotinoid, and it goes up through the plant to the pollen, and my bees get it, and they can't smell their way home. So I heard that at one of the bee club meetings in Santa Maria, they said there was a clump of bees big as two fists hanging on a fence post with 20 hives there, and they couldn't figure which hive they were supposed to go into. And if they're going in the wrong hive, the bees will fight with them. So that's a big problem. And temporarily, I'm out of the bee business because I moved them where they got into the neonicotinoid. I'll find some more swarms. I got empty hives to put them in now when the swarms happen again. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Payne. Appreciate the calling to our attention something that is of great importance, the bee population and the problems facing it. Mr. Blair, followed by Daniela Arnon, please.
Bob Blair, Aurora Grande. That's not what I came to talk about, but being on a community service district for 10 years and allowing people with no growth tendencies to get in and take control of things, what you have in Los Osos is a prime example. Utilities should never be used to stop growth and development. What I'm going to talk about this morning is I went to your workshop on energy and carbon footprints. The United States leads the world in cellular phones, electronics, communications, but in the automobiles industry, we're probably a poor third behind Germany and Japan. What I'd like you to do is some things a little more interesting than some of these other people. When you go home today, I want you to count cars from Europe, not England or Scandinavia, but Europe. Stop when you get to 20. It won't take very long. Then I'd like you to take a vacation to Europe. Spend about 2 weeks over there. Enjoy the sights, but count American cars. You will never get to 20. There is nothing we produce in this country that is bought and sold in Europe. There are versions of the cars that are sold in Europe. You see this Ford Fiesta on television. It's 40 miles per gallon. It looks very wonderful. The same car in Europe gets 65 miles per gallon because it has a small diesel engine in it. Diesel, 80% of the cars in Europe use diesel, clean diesel. There's no fumes. They're the ones that invented this new technology. I don't even know if you're aware of it, but it's called a CAT trap oxidizer. It goes behind the exhaust pipe. Urea is injected into the exhaust. The exhaust comes out cleaner than the cars you're driving. We need to get different technology in the United States to make our cars compatible to the rest of the world and compete in the rest of the world. A lot of the cars in the rest of the world run on natural gas. We have the largest natural gas seep in the world in the Santa Barbara Channel. 1 billion cubic feet of natural gas goes up into the air every year. It hurts the air quality, and that could be running all the cars probably in California. All the trucks, buses, municipal vehicles in Los Angeles now run on natural gas. All the cabs in Spain run on natural gas. And one of the few countries in the world where you see American cars is Australia. Australia has a lot of American Fords and Chevys. These cars run on natural gas because natural gas is at the pump. We have E85 in this country, and E85 is ethanol. It takes 5 gallons of diesel to make 1 gallon of ethanol. Now, is that very effective? Because to bring it to market takes 5 gallons of diesel or energy equivalent. We need to change the way we're doing things in this country. We need to get on different fuels with different cars. We need to get behind the Germans. Probably fuel cell is the ultimate thing. But in the meantime, it's oil. And if you're going to solve your economic problems, you better drill for oil in the Santa Barbara Channel. Because if you don't, your whole economy is going to collapse. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Blair. Appreciate it.
All right.
Ms. Arnon?
Hi, my name is Daniela Arnon, and I would like to point out that there is no healthy economy without a healthy environment. We rely on a healthy environment for everything. So I think it's very important to take really good care of our environment. And then, because all the money in the world is worth nothing if we don't have clean air, clean water, a pure food supply, healthy airwaves. So when I hear about the horrors with the smart meters, I feel scared, I feel afraid, and I value a sense of well-being and health and safety, and I'm really hoping that we're going to look into this more. And more and more studies are concluding that EMFs lead to brain tumors, fetal damage, cancer. In Australia, they've been having problems with arc fires with the so-called smart meters. Not sure they're so smart. County after county, city after city, country after country are putting moratoriums on the smart meters. And I have a request that this county adopt a resolution using the precautionary principle to oppose any further installation of smart meters in the county, at least until AB 37 is passed. That's the Huffman bill, which would offer people a hardwired alternative, which is much safer. There's also could be a link with bee colony collapse and EMFs or non-thermal energy. And I encourage people to go to emfsafetynetwork.org for more information. There's been a moratorium placed in Santa Cruz, in Morro Bay, in Fairfax. The EU is looking at this. Germany is encouraging people to turn off their wireless technology when they're not using it and go back to landlines and things like that. So what we cannot see can hurt us, and please protect our health and safety. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Arnon. Just to let you know that we have looked into the matter closely. The regulatory authority on smart meters is the California Public Utilities Commission. Next week, we will have on our agenda a letter and resolution to the CUPC, to also copy it to PG&E and our state legislators, Senator Blakesley and Assemblyman Asajian. So we are expressing the concerns that we have heard, whether it be health-related, consumer-related, to the California Public Utilities Commission. So that will be on next week's consent. That's about what we have the power to do, so that's what we will do.
Can you just explain a little further, like, what stand you're taking?
That will be, I believe, in the letter that Supervisor Patterson, the resolution that Supervisor Patterson's bringing forth next week. And so the agenda should be released, I think, publicly on our website tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Did you want to follow up, Supervisor
Patterson? Yes, you explained it well, Chairman Hill. We do speak to the Huffman AB 37 in our letter, but as Supervisor Hill mentioned, the California Public Utilities Commission is the authority that regulates the smart meters. It's beyond our ability, other than to express to the CPUC as well as others at the state legislature and PG&E that we have concerns. We've heard our constituents express concerns relative to the smart meter, and we're responding to that. But it's not in our power to legislate that. But we will have a resolution and letter on next week's agenda, and it will be available tomorrow online. And if I may, Mr. Chair, I also wanted to make one clarification just for the public who hasn't had the opportunity to take a look at our agenda packet. Ms. Owen mentioned that we are spending $161 million purchasing a water treatment system for Lopez, and actually it's $161,000, not $161 million. And currently we don't own the system that's being used at Lopez to treat the water. We lease that, and this purchase will actually be a water purification system that we control and we operate and manage, unlike what's going on out there now. So I wanted to make that clarification.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you doing that. And with no further requests from the public, we'll close it to the public and bring it back to the board, and we will close public comment. And that concludes our items of the day. Before that, we will go to closed session. I have no request to speak on closed session, so I will close it to the public on closed session and go to our counsel, Mr. Jensen, for a time estimate.
Thank you. 15 minutes.
15 minutes in closed session, so we shall be back to adjourn after that. Thank you.